Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you today. We are in a series on Gentiles within Messianic Judaism. A Messianic rabbi who wrote an odious blog, which blatantly misrepresented the Messianic community of the Harvest, inspires this series. We reached out and tried to dialogue with him and his elders to clarify and correct the misunderstandings and misrepresentations, but neither he nor even one of his six elders would respond. This was sad and unfortunate, seeing how we longed to build a practical and working unity between Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles. On the upside, this blog that was written has provided us the opportunity to address his misrepresentations of Messianic Judaism, generally speaking. His views are not unique, but represent a low-grade but persistent fever that has plagued this movement for decades. Our goal is to expose these ideological maladies that separate Jewish and Gentile believers in Messiah, maladies rooted in ethnic pride, ignorance, insecurities, envies, and jealousies. We are for uniting Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles. Therefore, we will attempt to address any ideologies which would inspire division among us. So welcome to Torah Talk, and thank you for your prayers and support. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome in the studio today with me my co-host, Pastor Russ, and Torah teacher, BJ. How are you both doing, and are you ready for the show today?
I am ready for the show today. I am excited, and I love this concept of where it is that this series has gone, of us understanding who it is that we are as Gentiles, but within either, you know, when we talk about Judaism, biblical Judaism, Messianic Judaism, you know, really what is our role? What is our right? What is the gift that it is that we've been given? So it's been an exciting topic for me, and I'm excited to continue on today.
Great, BJ. Great to have you here. Pastor Russ.
Amen. Boy, I certainly agree with you, BJ. This is just such a fantastic opportunity that has been presented before us, because the views of one person, I mean, I really feel like there's not just one person that holds these particular views. I think there's a lot of people that hold this very particular set of views. Yes. And this has just been a great opportunity for us to be able to look into the Word and say, well, what does the Word say about right. this and about these different things? And it's been a great platform for us to build on to really try to represent what Yeshua said and what the Word tells us and how we are to live and walk.
Yeah, yes. That's great. Good. Well, let's keep in mind that this is a midrash and is not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or theological treatise on the subject. We are simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you as well as ourselves, and we reserve the right to change our minds on our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Messiah. Well, like I said earlier, this series of podcasts have been inspired by this blog that was written about us. And yeah, I hit the Messianic wall of weird. I made the Messianic wall of weird. The sad thing is I was just totally misrepresented. And so I've proposed this. I'm asking the good rabbi to change the name from Messianic wall to weird to Messianic wall of libel. I think that would be much more accurate in terms of what was written about me. And so as a result, we have taken time out to clear up the misrepresentations for those that are out there and to clarify what we really believe. Whether you agree with it or not, that's up to you. But we at least want to share with you who we really are and what we really believe. And I think, as Pastor Russ has pointed out, they're bigger than the Harvest. They're bigger than this rabbi's website. They're actually prevalent in Messianic Judaism. These are the big questions that are running around and being discussed and midrashed on within Messianic Judaism. So we're coming from a slant that really focuses on Gentiles. Where do Gentiles find their place in the Messianic movement? And so that's what this has kind of been all about. And we're excited about it. We're glad we can bring this show to you. And again, we thank you for listening. Hey, by the way, too, let other people know about this podcast. Share it with other people. Send them the link. Let them kind of get into this. We just enjoy the ability to really dialogue and have this show and reach so many people that can continue the Midrash, continue the dialogue. So that's great. Okay, I'm going to pick this up. This is part of his blog, quote, according to the FAQ, that's the frequently asked questions on our website. According to the FAQs on his congregational site, many of the people there wear tallit, Jewish prayer shawls, and even tzitzit, ritual Jewish fringes, which he says they believe in tying in creative ways and using a variety of colors, a non-Jewish approach. So I think, you know what, this is a great, great segue into our show today and a great set of statements that we can address. And I want to begin. I want to begin with the text. And the text for tzitzit is what I want to jump into. We don't have many people that wear prayer shawls in our community. We have maybe, I think, on any given service, maybe two or three. Is that?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, not very many will wear the tallit. We have probably a much higher percentage of people that wear the tassels or the tzitzit mm-hmm. on their clothes. And so I think I'll just jump into the passage that deals with tassels. Numbers 15, 37 through 41. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So there's the chair passage for tzitzit or tzitziot. And there's several other passages, but they all kind of find their root mm-hmm. right here. This is where we kind of jump into the passage. And I want to just point out that it's obvious that it says sons of Israel. And the word for son, B'nai, can be a reference to both sons and daughters. That's not clear in the passage. And so different forms of rabbinic Judaism have argued on that and made a case for just men. Other groups within Judaism have made a case for women also. And so it just depends on what branch of Judaism, what stream of Judaism that you're a part of. And whatever part you're a part of, if you're part of the Reform, or let's say Orthodox, what's the halacha for your group? If you identify with that group and you're a part of that group, do what that group has determined as their self identification and their group's values and beliefs. Do that. That's what we encourage you to do. Getting back to the text, though, when it says speak to the sons of Israel, it's talking about the sons of Israel, the nation of Israel. Israel has become a nation, and we have to keep in mind that what's misunderstood is what we refer to over and over and over in Paul's writings as the mystery of the gospel, and the mystery has to do with the Gentiles. And so when you go back to this passage and back early to the Exodus, where he actually did bring them out of the land of Egypt, you'll notice that there were Gentiles who came out with them. A mixed multitude came out with them. Mm-hmm. And stood at Sinai. Do you realize the mixed multitude? They walked through the Red Sea too. Many of those in the mixed multitude came out with the sons of Jacob, and they were redeemed in that they were standing with Jewish people, Hebrew people, on the other side of the Great Sea when the Egyptian army was crushed. On that night in which the Passover took place and the angel of death came through, there were mixed there were Gentiles in the groups that certainly went over to their Hebrew neighbors, yeah. Especially if they had a firstborn son, right? And they were saying, you know, Moses is 9 for 9. Let's not mess around. Let's listen to what his God is saying. God wasn't just after revealing himself to Israel and the sons of Jacob. it's very clear early in the Exodus that God says, I'm going to make my name known throughout Egypt. All of Egypt will know who I am. God's revealing himself. Mm-hmm. And just because he chooses a people group to work through doesn't mean he's going to exclude everyone else. He's going to work through them to reach the nations. He's the God of all flesh, not just the Jews. He's the God of all flesh. And Judaism certainly understands that. I think we get a little bit mixed up in our Messianic Judaism when it comes to some of these issues, and I don't fully understand why. But
right, yeah, and when I read the what's on the blog defining tzitzit as ritual Jewish fringes, well, that isn't what God said. God, just like you said, gave it to the sons of Israel. We as Gentiles are grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. We are Israel. Those commandments are for Israel. They are for us. So they're not just for Jewish people only.
Right.
They're for all the sons of Israel, which includes us. So,
and that's the part that wasn't readily seen.
Right.
But you're exactly right. The mixed multitude came out. It's even clearer in Deuteronomy mm-hmm. when after 40 years, the new generation is going to go in. Well, guess who stands to renew the covenant before going into the land? It says all of them stood before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the great ones, the renowned ones, all the way down to the lesser ones within Israel, among the sons of Jacob. And it says, and also who?
Those who are not here.
Well, no, the strangers among them, the aliens
among them. Sure.
Yes. And so you have this non-Jewish or non-Hebrew group of subgroup of people that's actually dwelling with Israel, identifying with Israel. And they stood that day with them.
Right.
In order that the Lord might become their Lord too, also. And so they are the precursor, the type and shadow of the nations that would come in post-resurrection mm-hmm. and post the pouring out of the Spirit at that second great Shavuot. And so you can see the types and shadows early on, and then it becomes clear in Pauline theology mm-hmm. that the mystery was this. The Gentiles would be included in Israel as part of the commonwealth of Israel, fellow heirs with Israel in the covenants of promise,
right.
as Gentiles. And so that's the mystery of the gospel. And so we really believe that when it says the sons of Israel, we are comprehended in that. It's
yes.
not really clear here, but if you take and look at all of what the Bible has to say about the Gentiles, that becomes very, very clear that the Gentiles in Messiah are grafted in. They are a part of the commonwealth of Israel. Therefore, these instructions for how, when God says, these are my instructions for how you, the ones I've redeemed, shall live, that would include Gentiles he's redeemed as well, not just Jewish people.
Yeah. I think one of the other important misconceptions is that when he uses the phrase ritual Jewish fringes, it's kind of one of my, you know, pet peeves you know, like when I'll say to someone, oh, you know, I'm not, my office is closed that day because it's Yom Kippur. Oh, you're Jewish. No. Well, why are you doing a Jewish holy day? Well, it's not a Jewish holy day. Just because the Jews are doing it.
Right.
You know, mostly it's Jews doing it. You're absolutely
yes,
correct.
Yes, absolutely right.
But there's nothing within Scripture that says, and this is a Jewish holy day. He says, these are my holy
right.
days. These are my sanctified
yes.
times.
Right.
So when we look at this and he says it's a ritual Jewish fringe, it's like it's a commandment of God, not
for,
a
yes.
ritual Jewish.
Exactly.
It's not a cultural thing. I know that
yes.
a lot of people will look at it as, oh, that's a cultural Jewish thing. It's like there's some things that are culturally Jewish.
Yes.
And there's some things that are biblically Jewish.
And culturally Jewish. And then there's other things that are biblically commands for
you
all
know,
exactly, for all the redeemed.
It's biblical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, absolutely. So when I look at this and go, this is a biblical command. And for one, I hate every time I have to take grief for walking in obedience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That really
yeah.
frustrates me because I think,
what are you doing staying faithful to your wife?
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
wait,
how is that suddenly something that I should be berated for because I have chosen to walk in obedience to a commandment?
Yeah.
And then which commandments are good for me to walk in? No one ever says, I cannot believe you are still faithful to your wife after all these years. I find that appalling. I think, you know, Torah has been nailed to the cross. I don't understand why it is that you would do that. That is, you're treading on the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
No one says that. But yet if you wear tzitzit, then they go, oh, you know, Torah's been done away with. And
yes.
It's frustrating to me, but this concept of, well, the things that we're doing are Jewish, it's like, It's really that this is, he says, this is my holy day. This is my commandment. This is my instruction to you. This is really, this is not a ritual Jewish cultural situation. This is not one of the most followed commandments within Torah, but it is a commandment within Torah. It's not something that we're trying to be Jewish. It is a commandment of trying to walk in obedience to what the commandments are.
And that's how we reflect our love. Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love you. Yeah. So this is what we're
And this is a perfect one. I love this. You know, I know we... I don't know if we necessarily have a huge stance on men versus women wearing tzitzit. I personally don't wear tzitzit just because I, at this point in my life, I understand it as a Sons of Israel commandment, but I'm open to, I'm open to dialogue.
Yeah, the gender
about
thing
it.
Is not clear. That's
I'm
for
not,
sure.
I'm not personally perfectly clear on it, but it's one of my favorite commandments, though it's not one that I personally partake in, but I love that he gives us a why. Yeah. And you know, there's a ton of commandments that he doesn't give us a why to.
Right.
There's a ton of commandments that he basically says, do this, don't do that. I love that he says, I want you to do this so that this is a reminder to you that when you look down upon these tzitzits, you remember my commandments, that you remember what it is that I've done for you and what it is that I'm expecting for you. I think that's a beautiful commandment of saying, you look down on those fringes, and before it is that you're going to make a bad decision today, I want you to look and remember who you really are.
Yes.
I want you to remember the covenant that we're in. I want you to remember your identity. It's a super cool commandment that goes along with when you say, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Here's one that, if you love me, keep this commandment, that's a reminder to you of the rest of the commandments.
Right.
I mean, what a cool...
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like bondage to me
at
all.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's a beautiful way to help us to remember who we are and what God expects of us. He says, please, I want you to remember who you are. I want you to remember that I'm holy and that you're my children. I want you to be holy. I want to remind you to be holy. Can you imagine telling the Gentiles whom he redeemed? Oh, hey, don't worry about that. We don't want you to remember that he did this great thing for you as well. I mean, you did come out, but could you kind of like forget about that? And don't worry about being holy to God, because you know what? After all, you're like chopped liver or whatever, you know? No wonder there's division within the body when we have those kind of attitudes, you know? Whom God is redeeming, these are the recipients of his commands. He says, I've adopted you as my children. I want you as my children to walk in my ways. And if you understand adoption, that's how that works. You know, all the children in the family live by the same set of values and norms because they're part of the family. That's the power of adoption. And so we understand, hey, you know, as a Gentile who's redeemed by the same God of Egypt, or the same God who delivered us out of Egypt, we're going to walk in his ways, expressing a unity between Jews and Gentiles that is a result of his work of redemption, and that we are all brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about tzitzits. When you're in a community, when everyone's wearing tzitzits, it's like, this is my family. They're so easy to identify. You see someone in a grocery store, my brother.
Yeah,
it is the coolest thing.
And you know what? I'm like, as BJ said, you know what? I'm not saying everyone has to wear tzitzit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm grateful that there's enough that will actually wear them to remind all of us. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to even wear them yourself to see someone else's and have theirs remind you that you are redeemed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is holy. He's reminding you to be holy too.
Right.
You know, and that's why I'm an advocate that you know what? I like wearing mine on the outside of my pants,
me
not
too.
The inside, you know, because I think it's important. If you hide them and you don't see them, how will you remind yourself?
Or anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, and so whatever. I mean, I'm saying for me personally, the preference is I'm wearing them on the outside. Every time I see one of our congregants, or anybody for that matter, even a Jewish person who's not a part of our community, but maybe a part of an Orthodox community, when I see their tzitzit, you know, it reminds me of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me that that's my brother too.
Yes.
That's right. That's
I
right.
get excited when I see that.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's great. Okay, so. Let me ask the question. When we read that passage earlier, for the life of me, and I'm not a degreed scholar. Okay, I don't have a formal academic degree in theology, so I'm not you know trying to pass myself off as an expert, but I do trust the big giants that write the lexicons and have PhDs and have great, credible academic training. When I read their ideas and interpretations of this passage, I've never run across any of them saying that the Hebrew actually is saying how to tie them.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just looking and I'm saying, you know what? I'm not a scholar, but I don't see anywhere in there about how you're to tie your tzitzit.
Right.
And I checked all the great commentaries, both in rabbinic Judaism, even in messianic Jewish scholarship. No one ever tries to make the case that Moses instructed us how to tie him. So coming back to this deal, he says, they even believe in tying them in creative ways and using a variety of colors. So let's take the creative ways first. So obviously, in rabbinic forms of Judaism, there's different ways to tie your tzitzit. And it's part of your uniform. You know, you see uniforms everywhere, okay? NFL, they have uniforms. And if you're playing for the Denver Broncos, which this year was not a really big year to be wanting to be on the Broncos team, you know, as far as the Super Bowl. But can you imagine being a Bronco and showing up in a Patriot jersey and trying to tell the coach, hey, you know, I'm just free. You know, I have freedom. That's my First Amendment rights or whatever, you know, free speech. It'd be ridiculous. Why? Because you're a Bronco. Either wear the Bronco jersey or get off the team. Get off the team, right? And same in the military, you know. You can't show up in a Navy outfit if you're part of the Marines. And you can say free speech all you want, but you know what? Hey, if you're a Marine, dress in the uniform of the Marine. So in Judaism, they have different ways, different groups in Judaism tie their tzitzit specifically. And it's an identifying mark as to the group you belong to.
Right.
So if I was to tie my tzitzit, let's say, the way that an Orthodox group ties theirs, and with no cord of blue, by the way, just all white, and then you know, wear the kippah that they espouse as far as their uniform, I would be communicating to them that I'm a part of their group. And I personally think there's something wrong with that because I have not converted and I'm not a part of their group.
Right.
So I can understand them looking at me and saying imposter.
Yes.
Looking at me saying pretender, you're mm-hmm. a pretender. In fact, you're a deceiver. I can understand that. I'm not saying that's necessarily true because sometimes people with good hearts try to identify without going through the deals. But suffice it to say, you can make a case that, hey, I'm a pretender. I'm pretending to be something that I'm not, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when I look at this and I say, wow, Moses didn't say how to tie him, it tells me that there's liberty in the area of how to tie him. And so if we, as Gentiles, celebrating the diversity of Jews and Gentiles in the body, if we tie ours in a Gentile way so as to not communicate that I'm actually a part of a particular group in rabbinic Judaism that I'm not a part of, I think that's like logical, rational, full of integrity and wisdom. What, you know, I think in these kind of scenarios, you're danged if you do, danged if you don't. If,
right.
if you tie them the way they're supposed to be tied, what are you doing? You're not a convert. You're not really Jewish. You can't do that. Okay, so I don't do that. I tie them in a way that could never be confused by anybody.
That's
wrong too. Well, excuse me, you know. So here's kind of my statement that I came up with. As a Gentile member of the Commonwealth of Israel, and as a wild olive branch, emphasis wild, as a wild olive branch grafted into the olive tree of believing Israel, I will express my gift of righteousness in harmony and reflective of the covenants of promise, which are mine too. Thanks be to the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, who died for me as well as for you. How I tie my tassels are different from how you tie yours. Why? I'm a Gentile. And if you're Jewish, great. You tie them the way you think you ought to tie them. And having a problem with that. Tie them any way you want to tie them.
Right. And I love the statement that we believe in tying our zit in creative ways. Well, isn't that amazing? Because I'm made in the image of the creator. So for me to be creative, I think is to probably
be,
okay.
Yeah, to be creative in an area where actually you're allowed to be creative.
Right.
It's the text allows that.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so, you know, don't hassle me. I'm a Gentile, and I'm proud of it. Like you said,
Amen.
Like you said, Pastor Russ, it was so good. If this is how God made me, I'm more than happy to be that, because he doesn't mess up.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so if you're Jewish, be proud of being Jewish.
Amen.
If you're Asian, be proud to be Asian. If you're whether it's race or ethnicity, whatever, celebrate that. But know this. We are all God's children. And in Messiah, we're being redeemed. And so allow for diversity within the body of Messiah. And in this area, the text allows for diversity. And so if I want to tie that in a way that communicates, hey, I am your brother by way of Spain, or I am your brother by way of Africa, or I'm your brother by way of Asia. And you can notice that my zitzits certainly express that. Then why not accept me as a Gentile and as a full member of the Commonwealth of Israel?
Amen.
And let's rejoice in the different ways that we express the commandments of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unity that we're after. So, you know what? I'll make an agreement with this rabbi. I hope he's listening. I bet he's listening. I think he's been listening all along, you know? But hey, I won't judge your tassels if you quit judging mine. And BJ, I'm not even going to say what you told me, that if I said it, you would give me $5. Okay. But suffice it to say, I won't judge your tassels. Please don't judge my tassels. That's good. And let's go back to this. Oh, let's go back to this too.
Yeah, can we do the?
Yeah, let's do the. Yeah. They even believe in tying them using a variety of colors, a non-Jewish approach. Now, before we get into that, let's keep in mind that the term Jewish, we can't import that back into the early biblical text. You can talk about Hebrews back in the Torah, and then you can talk about Jews as it's presented and evolves into the apostolic scriptures. But this is an interesting thing. Using a variety of colors is a non-Jewish approach. What do you think about the days of Moses, when our ancestors, both Jewish and Gentile, back in the days of Moses, they were given this command? What do you think their tassels look like? I know it's pretty speculative, but I think scholarship has pointed this out, so why not jump in and give our opinion? What do you think? You think they were wearing just white? You think they were adding tassels to their clothes? Do you even think they had corners on their garment? Because some pretty brilliant Jewish scholars have pointed out that the English term corner is probably the weakest word we could use to describe what the Hebrew word is referring to, that we translate corners. It's more appropriately edges of the garments or borders of the garments, not corners.
Right.
So let's get into this. What do you guys think?
I mean, my assumption would be that there are some things that I would say definitive. I would be shocked if Moses wasn't wearing tassels that had a thread of blue on it. I mean, that would be, I don't know what the other colors were within it, but I'm certain that there was one thread of blue that
one
was within Moses's tzitzit. That anything of when it is that has traditionally changed to be all white is something that happened much later. And, you know, that Moses would have followed the letter of the Torah.
Yes.
And whether it is, you know, again, we can go back and forth of how some people do belt loops. Some people actually will wear a tallit katan so that they've got a physical corner that they can use or some. But it's a very definitive commandment that there needs to be a thread of blue.
Yes.
We can then argue over what the other 22 22 tassels,
yeah,
what color those are supposed to be. That's where it is that, you know, ours Some people wear the rest of them in just white, but with one thread of blue. Some people will wear different colors and then a thread of blue. But our stance is this. I mean, it's such a powerful, amazing stance that we take. There needs to be a thread of blue.
Right. Yes.
And right. I would be shocked if Moses wasn't wearing tzitzit that had at least one thread of blue within them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I think we would all be in agreement. I think scholarship's in agreement that he put a quart of blue. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Now think about this. I remember when I was growing up, it was really big to let the hem out of your blue jeans. We had bell bottoms and you let the hem out. And if you let the hem out, what would happen?
It frays.
Starts to fray.
Oh yeah. All the way around. You've got this fray. It's just, you know, in fact, all garments, most all garments have that fray unless you fold it up and make a hem.
Right.
Then you don't have a fray. So in the ancient world, there is a strong likelihood that the garments that they were wearing were frayed. And what they were doing is they were adding blue on the border of that fray. So whatever color the garment was the color of the frays. The only difference was you added blue mm-hmm. on that border.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a case even in some of the earlier documents that became the basis for halakha in some rabbinic forms of Judaism, that there were multiple colored garments or garments that have different color, mm-hmm. and the color was not the issue. The issue was, as you've pointed out, BJ, you got to add the blue. How we got to where it has to be just all white, you know, and it has to be a scalloped corner, 90 degree, you know. I don't know how we got there, but and it's probably because I'm not an Orthodox Jew. But as a Gentile reading the text and understanding the scholarship behind the text, the case is that you wear a tassel on the border. You wear four tassels on the border or edges of your garments, and that fulfills the command. And you have to have a quart of blue. It doesn't say anything about the colors of the other tassels. It's again, it's a silent issue.
And it doesn't even say four. It just says.
Well, I think it does. Not in that text, but in the other text, it does specify four. Hmm. So it has to be four. And the idea behind that is certainly my opinion. It's other people's opinions as well. But the idea is that if you have four, then anybody that looks at you, doesn't matter where you're standing in proximity to them, they're going to see one of those tassels. See, if you only had to wear one and you were facing opposite of me, I'd never see it. But if you got four on the edges, no matter where you're standing, I'm going to see at least one of them. And so that there were visible reminders, so they have to be highly visible, and that's why I think there was a case to be made for four. In the text, it's not referring to how many in this passage. So I get what you're saying, Pastor Russ. But the idea is it's going to be on the edges or borders of your garments. And so, hey, if you want a tallit katan, do it. I wear that sometimes. I have a couple tallit katans, and I know this is going to be a little bit upsetting. I even have different color. I have a dark blue one that it's so nice, you know. So anyway, but I think to myself, you know what? Hey, I'm a Messianic Gentile. You know what? I'm not under your halakha. You know what? I don't expect you to be under mine. An Orthodox Jew doesn't expect me to follow his halakha when I'm not a part of his Orthodox Judaism. And I don't expect him to follow our halakha. So why don't you focus on what you're supposed to focus on as a rabbi? I'm not sure what part of Judaism you converted under. If you converted under Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, whatever you converted under, you should be sure to check with their halakhic rulings, and that's how you should tie your tzitzit. I hope you're doing that. You need to be consistent. Since you converted, then whatever you converted underneath, that's the halakha you need to follow. Wow. Wow. And so I didn't convert. I did not convert. If I want to wear my tassels on my kilt and identify with my Scot-Irish background, I'll put them on my kilt. And you know what? You better not mess with me. If you need to see Braveheart, see that again. And so don't mess with my kilt and my tassels. Or if I want to put them on the corners or borders of any of the other clothes I wear, that's great. That's who I am. We're following our halakha. You follow yours. We'll follow ours. And let's love each other rather than judging each other.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, we should celebrate the diversity among us.
Yes. You know,
I also think we want... did I just interrupt you?
No. Okay. It's a midrash.
I also think, you know, there's this part of me where people will come to me and they'll be talking about something within the commandments and maybe they don't get it exactly the way I do, or maybe I'm even pretty darn convinced that I'm right. But I want to be so encouraging of people who are walking to the best of their ability in the commandments of God. And so I want to say, like, I love that that's how it is. You know, you're doing something different than what I would do, but your heart intention is right. Your motivation is right. You are, you know, trying to walk out a commandment to the best of your ability. And I want to encourage them instead of coming down on them because they're not doing it the exact same way that I would. You know, I want it to be where I can look at someone and say, you know, I love the steps that it is that you're making, or I right. love what it is that you're doing. Or so for someone to say, oh, you're wearing tzitzit, but you're not wearing them right. It's like, you're wearing tzitzit. That's awesome. I'm so proud that you're walking in obedience to a commandment of God. And it's one, it's not a thou shalt not commit adultery commandment. It's not right. one that's widely recognized even among the nations. This is one where you are, by choosing to wear your tzitzit, you're choosing to set yourself apart. This is not a, I've taken a stance that 99% of the world thinks is okay. This is, I have separated myself out. I am visibly different when it is that I go out into the world and I'm doing a commandment that not everyone is doing. We should be encouraging of our brothers in doing that. We should be encouraging of people walking in obedience to the commandments instead of saying, but I don't like that you tied it this way. There's got to be some grace where it is that we can say, even if we're wrong, our wrong is done with an intention that says we've read the commandment, we've looked at it, we're doing it to the best of our ability, and here's what it is that we've come up with. There's no grace for saying, but why are you doing it this way? Or, but then you're not, we can't win in that.
Right. And I just get, you know, like I said earlier, I get so excited when I see people with tzitzits, no matter where I'm at Target or a grocery store or wherever. I don't care how they tie them. You know, I'm just excited and interested. That's my brother. I want to go over and talk to him. I want to meet him, and I want to find out who they are. And I celebrate the diversity in how they do that. Oh, maybe that identifies them. They're Sephardic. Oh, they're Ashkenazi based on their tie. Or it's exciting to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like going to a foreign country. You get to see new stuff and different things and in different people. So, yeah, I totally agree with you that we should just be excited, you know, about our diversity and who God made us to be, and not condemning because we don't do it their way.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Well, listen, I'm gonna go ahead and close the show at this point. I've just really hungry for a corned beef on white bread with mayo sandwich, and so I'm gonna go have my daily sandwich in honor of this podcast. So we'll conclude it for this week, and a special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ, and to our teacher, BJ, our listeners and supporters for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. We say thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I am your host, Torah Teacher Mark, and until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.